Thank you for tuning in to the True Gospel broadcast here on the Liberty Works Radio Network. I'm Sam Adams, pastor of the Independence Baptist Church in Bellevue, Florida. You can find our website online at www.independencebaptist.com. This past 4th of July, the American people celebrated what they believed to be their freedom, with picnics and cookouts and fireworks and patriotic songs like, "I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free." But most of those same people are so brainwashed by the public education system and the controlled media that they are completely oblivious to their own condition of servitude to an all-controlling and out-of-control federal government. What the prophet Isaiah applied to ancient Israel is now true of America. Truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter, because people in general do not want to hear the truth. And those that try to proclaim the truth, that America has been reduced to an absolute despotism, are seen even by dumbed-down Christians as conspiracy nuts and fringe radicals. Today's message, preached this past Sunday at our church, remembers the great act of Congress of July 4, 1776, the unanimous Declaration of Independence from Britain, but also remembers and recounts how that same Congress has since renewed the same despotism and tyranny it was convened to eradicate. Americans are now living under the chains of slavery forged at the time of the Civil War, and the political and legislative processes of the past 150 years has only served to make those chains much heavier and much stronger. The good news, however, is that there is a remedy. You can be free and have true liberty today, but there is only one source for true liberty and true freedom. As the Lord Jesus said, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Please listen to this message. Open your Bibles, please, with me to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59. And I'm going to start reading right here in verse 1. Isaiah 59, verse 1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." Down to verse 7. "Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness." Then verse 12, "For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them, in transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment." There are many parallels, I believe, between the America of our day and the Israel of the Old Testament, ancient Israel. And therefore, there are many passages in the Bible, the Old Testament, that I believe describe the nation that America has now become. And I've read through my Bible many times, and I cannot think of any single passage of Scripture that describes the America that we are living in now more than this one. This passage does describe America. Of course, it was directed originally to Israel, but certainly describes America that we're living in today. 2 days ago, Americans across this land gathered at town centers and fairgrounds and public parks to watch the annual 4th of July fireworks display, perhaps to hear patriotic music like "God Bless America, Land That I Love," "America, America, God Shed His Grace on Thee," and "I'm Proud to Be an American, Where at Least I Know I'm Free." But the vast majority of Americans, even those who call themselves Christian, who have allowed themselves to be brainwashed by their TVs, who have thrown truth in the street and put reason on the shelf, and who allow the network TV media to tell them what to think and how to be happy.
Amen.
These folks are completely oblivious to the fact that they are no more than controlled slaves of the state in what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. 2 days ago, on July 4th, 2014, America celebrated her 238th birthday. 238 years ago, the shooting had already started. But on July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America was signed by 56 delegates to the Second Continental Congress convened in Philadelphia, declaring independence from Britain, and in effect declaring war on Parliament and on the Crown of England. In part, this is what they declared. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is a right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces or exposes a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. They then listed their grievances against King George, a long list of grievances. Then after listing their grievances, this long train of abuses by the Crown against the colonies, the Congress then declared, "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly to publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states. They are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. But as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Those 56 delegates pledged not only their own lives and fortunes and sacred honor, but also that of their countrymen as well. Mary and I have visited Monticello, the home of Thomas Jefferson in Virginia, the man who drafted that document, Thomas Jefferson, where Jefferson's grave remains to this day in a small family cemetery, adorned with a large stone monument and surrounded by the graves of several family members. While Thomas Jefferson had great respect for the teachings of Christ, he rejected most of the Bible, much of the Bible, and was not really a Christian. But he knew the Bible well enough to know that the kind of morality and holiness that God demands of any nation that would desire His blessings and providence. He knew that. And to quote the old saying, if Jefferson knew today what America has become, even Jefferson the deist would roll over in his grave. And so the other 55 signers of the Declaration of Independence and many other good Christian patriots who gave their lives to provide the freedoms and the liberty that Americans once enjoyed, but that have long ago become no more than a nostalgic memory, as America has arguably become one of the most corrupt nations on this earth and one of the most enslaved, with its people now the slaves of, and in fact even now the declared enemies of, the government over which they were supposed to have been the masters. So how do we get from where we were to where we are now? What happened? The people of this land are living in the chains of slavery, forged at the time of the Civil War, beginning with Lincoln's 1861 declaration of a national emergency and suspension of habeas corpus in 1862. And the political processes and legislative processes over the past 150 years has only served to make those chains heavier and stronger. Immediately after the Civil War in 1865, Republican-controlled Congress attempted to pass the 14th Amendment to, in effect, abolish state sovereignty and to create federal citizenship, converting all previously free state citizens to federal citizens. Under the guise of freeing the slaves, the goal of the amendment was actually to create slaves of every citizen in the country and to convert all citizens to federal subjects. When the amendment was rejected by the southern states and several of the border states, the Republican-controlled Congress passed the Reconstruction Acts of 1867, which placed the entire South under military rule. In the words of one Republican congressman, the purpose of the Reconstruction Acts was to coerce southern legislators to vote for the 14th Amendment at the point of a bayonet. President Andrew Johnson called this tactic absolute despotism, the likes of which had not been exercised by any British monarch for more than 500 years. For his resistance to Congress's tyranny, Johnson was summarily impeached and removed from office. The South eventually did vote to ratify the amendment, after which two northern states, Ohio and New Jersey, withdrew support because of their disgust with the Republican Party tyranny. So in 1868, the Republicans ignored that fact and declared the amendment valid, despite their failure to secure the 3/4 majority required by the Constitution. Hence, the government now sees you as a U.S. citizen rather than a free citizen of a sovereign state. 1868. 1913 was another very bad year for America. In February of 1913, the 16th Amendment was allegedly ratified, creating the federal income tax, and on December 23rd of that year, the Federal Reserve Act was passed. These two acts go hand in hand to constitute what is probably the most diabolical evil that confronts every Christian man, woman, family, and church, and more than any other act enslaves and attacks the liberty of every American. Federal Reserve Act, handed over to a private corporation controlled by European powers, the power that only Congress previously had, that was to regulate and coin money and currency, which, by the way, then was no longer to be based in gold and silver coin, as the Constitution still requires, by the way, to this day. The impetus that drove that act was an unlimited money supply for the federal government. But the result of that act is the concentration of every penny of America's wealth into the hands of the international banking cartel, that, by the way, is ultimately controlled by the Bank of Rome and by the Vatican. The 16th Amendment that passed that same year in 1913 to implement the second plank of the Communist Manifesto, published by Karl Marx, which is a heavy progressive income tax. As was later admitted by Beardsley Rummel, who was chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, in an article that he published for the January 1946 issue of American Affairs magazine titled, "Taxes for Revenue Are Obsolete." He said, basically, since the creation of the Federal Reserve System allowed the government to create all the money it needed out of thin air. Therefore, taxes are not needed to raise revenue, but are necessary as a social control mechanism. He said this, quote, "A sovereign national government is finally free of money worries and need no longer levy taxes for the purpose of providing itself with revenue. All taxation, therefore, should be regarded from the point of view of social and economic consequences." He said, federal taxes can be made to serve four principal purposes of a social and economic character. We don't need taxes for revenue. We need it to control society. Four purposes. One, as an instrument of fiscal policy to help stabilize the purchasing power of the dollar. Two, to express public policy in the distribution of wealth and income, as in the case of the progressive income and estate taxes. He almost quoted verbatim from Karl Marx in making that statement. To express public policy in the distribution of wealth and income. Three, to express public policy in stabilizing or penalizing various industries and economic groups. That's what taxation is for. They can penalize who they want to and subsidize who they want to. Number four, to isolate and assess directly the cost of certain national benefits such as highways and Social Security. In other words, to control the population and to implement Karl Marx's second plank of the Communist Manifesto.
Right.
That's the purpose for taxes. They don't need taxes to raise revenue, admitted by Beardsley Rummel, chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. So together, these two acts completely did away with financial privacy. You have no financial privacy today. It opened the account ledgers and the bank accounts of every citizen to the inspection by the federal government. And it created a slave state mentality where every citizen thinks that these things are normal and acceptable. Well, I have to tell the government how much I made last year. It's their business. They need to know that. No, it's not their business.
Amen.
No, it's not their business. And this has thus paved the road for later implementation of the Mark of the Beast in Revelation 13. So 1913 was a very bad year for America. In 1917, the Emergency War Powers Acts again placed America under a state of national emergency that allowed the president to rule as a dictator, as Lincoln did, which was repeated by FDR in 1933 and has been renewed by every president since then. In 1929, the Rothschild bankers manipulated and controlled a stock market crash using tactics, by the way, that were repeated in 2007 for the purpose of ushering in FDR's New Deal economics, Social Security, Marxist socialism, in other words. Which always, by the way, ends up in communism, totalitarian communism, because it's always resisted by freedom-loving people and always has to ultimately be enforced by a police state, which is what we're getting now in America. In 1933, the Masonic seal of the United States was placed on the back of the dollar bill under FDR's leadership, making a public declaration that America was, in fact, founded for the purpose of implementing the satanic New World Order of the Antichrist, or the so-called Illuminati. Plain for every American to see on the back of every dollar bill, Novus Ordo Seclorum, New World Order. 1941, FDR purposely allowed an attack on Pearl Harbor by the Japanese to generate popular support for World War II, from which America emerged as the global superpower, poised to build an empire, complete with a military-industrial complex matched by no other nation. 1963, Bible reading in Christian prayer in public schools was outlawed by the Supreme Court. 1973, the Supreme Court ruled in the Roe v. Wade decision that mothers have a right to murder their own unborn children. And since then, 57 million have been butchered in the United States, filling this land with the blood of the innocents, and for which this nation will be judged. In 1986, the Bank Secrecy Act was passed under the guise of the war on drugs, requiring all banks to report all cash transactions of $10,000 or more to the Treasury Department, and making it a crime, by the way, to structure your deposits in such a way to avoid or evade this cash transaction report, further eroding financial privacy and making criminals of all citizens who may actually be unaware of the law and who may just want to limit their deposits for some other personal reason. Maybe I just don't want to take $10,000 to the bank. Maybe I just want to take $5,000, so I'm not risking the entire $10,000. But if I do that, I can be charged with structuring, which is exactly how Kent Hovind was prosecuted. Had nothing to do with violation of tax laws. Kent Hovind was prosecuted under the Bank Secrecy Act. 1992, after George Bush Sr. declared openly a New World Order on the floor of Congress, and then through the 1992 election to Bill Clinton. The Clinton administration executed the Ruby Ridge and Waco massacres and the OKC Murrah building explosion. 9/11/2001, American air defenses were ordered to stand down to allow the attacks on the World Trade Center in New York City and the Pentagon in Washington to create the same shock and awe among the American people that the Bushites had long planned to implement in Iraq as well. They wanted a regime change in Iraq. This is how they got it. It's also how they got, by the way, the Patriot Acts 1 and 2, drafted long before the events of 9/11/2001, back during the Clinton years, so those could be quickly passed, further destroying liberties guaranteed by the Constitution. The liberties lost to the Patriot Acts 1 and 2. Again, suspending habeas corpus and providing for unlimited military imprisonment. First Amendment freedom of speech was lost. Patriot Act broadly expanded the official definition of terrorism so that many domestic groups that engage in nonviolent civil disobedience could very well find themselves labeled as terrorists, such as Baptists like us, who believe the Bible. First Amendment freedom of association, you may now be the subject of a government investigation simply because you're the member of a political activist or some advocacy group that you're involved in, or possibly because of the statements that you make about such groups. Fourth Amendment, freedom from unreasonable search and seizures. Fifth Amendment, right to due process and freedom from being held without charge. Sixth Amendment, right to legal representation or to right to a speedy and public trial. These freedoms were all lost to the Patriot Acts. Then, on December 31, 2011, the National Defense Authorization Act was passed. We've talked about that before. Drafted and sponsored by Senator John McCain and Levin also, and passed by both houses of Congress. Was signed into law by Obama on December 31st, 2011. As we've discussed, this bill authorizes a secret military arrest, unlimited detention, torture, and execution of American citizens with no access to trial by jury or due process of law. And this bill is, in effect, as other bills have been, a declaration of war and martial law on the American people by Congress. Right. As under the guise of a war on terrorism that was itself created by the true terrorists in Washington, D.C. By the way, the NDAA was renewed this year with all these provisions still intact. Still there. But I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I am not proud to be an American where I know I'm not free.
Amen. That's right.
Your freedom gone, your courage lost, you're no more than a slave. And this, the land of the free and the home of the brave. You buy permits to travel, permits to own a gun, permits to start a business or to build a place for one. On land that you believe you own, you pay a yearly rent.
That's right.
Although you have no voice in choosing how the money is spent. Your children must attend a school that doesn't educate. Your moral values can't be taught, according to the state. You read about the current news in the controlled and biased press. You pay a tax you do not owe to please the IRS. Your money no longer made of silver or of gold. You trade your wealth for paper, so your life can be controlled. The people in this land are living in the chains of slavery that were forged just after the Civil War, and the political and legislative process of the last 150 years have done nothing but strengthen those chains and made them far more heavy, made them much heavier and much stronger. And by the way, the legislative and political process will never undo those chains.
Amen.
Right. Never. There is no political solution.
Amen.
To this tyranny. I believe that until Christ returns, we will be living under more and more tyranny. Dr. James McHenry, one of Maryland's delegates at the Constitutional Convention of 1787, recorded in his notes at the close of the convention, a lady asked Dr. Benjamin Franklin as he left Independence Hall on the final day of deliberation. She said, "Well, doctor, what have we got, a republic or a monarchy?" He quickly replied, "A republic, if you can keep it." But now, under the weight of thousands of pages of unconstitutional acts of Congress and thousands of powers assumed by the federal government in Washington, D.C. that were never delegated to it or enumerated in the Constitution. We now have most certainly lost the Republic that document was forged to create. While I do believe that the American people were right and just in their cause in 1776, as a matter of self-defense, they had a right to declare their independence and to throw off the chains of tyranny imposed by the Crown of England. They were right to do that. Even if, by the way, that conflict was fomented and exacerbated by the Vatican and its Jesuit infiltrators, which it most certainly was. And while I do believe that as a matter of purely self-defense, the American people today would have the same right to collectively and even by force of arms throw off the chains of the New World Order, this tyranny that had been imposed on them, as some today seem to be suggesting that we should do, I do believe that any attempt to do so today would end in utter failure. Like the French Revolution, like the Civil War. There's no hope of accomplishing such a goal today, either through the political system or through an uprising. There are many reasons for this conclusion, but the main reason is found here in Isaiah chapter 59. Verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened and it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. And their feet run to evil, they make haste to shed innocent blood, the blood of 57 million innocent children. Amen. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths, in transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off." You can't get justice in the courts. "Why? For truth is fallen in the street." Nobody cares about truth.
Yeah.
Truth is fallen in the street. And equity cannot enter. Equity is fairness. Fairness cannot enter the equation. "Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey." We preach messages like this, we paint a target on our back, don't we? Make ourselves a prey. The vast majority of Americans have not only rejected the Christian faith that once united America as a people, but have, in fact, become hostile to that faith, and therefore all the more deserving of the chains that now enslave them. It is true that if people will either serve the God of the Bible or they will serve tyrants. It is true. They'll either be ruled by God, the God of the Bible, or they will be ruled by tyrants. I love the memory of what America used to be. But I am ashamed of what America has become. I am ashamed of what America is doing to its own citizens and to hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians in Iraq and Afghanistan and other countries, and that has nothing to do with the security of anyone except those in government. Yeah.
Right.
And everything to do with building an empire and implementing Satan's so-called New World Order.
Right.
Ben Franklin said, "We've given you a republic if you can keep it." We didn't keep it. The America that was has gone the way of all the earth. That America is gone. The America that now is the tip of the spear of the New World Order. And it has become the last day's Babylon of Revelation 18. Keep your finger in Isaiah 59. Turn to John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31. Verse 31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. First, I need to clearly state who Jesus is addressing in this passage. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, as they believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Well, the truth is falling in the street today. But Jesus is here addressing people who believed certain facts about Jesus. They believed he had wonderful powers to heal. They believed that he possessed great wisdom and was a great teacher who taught God's word with authority. But the context here shows clearly that they were make-believers who professed to believe in Christ but did not believe unto salvation. They did not believe on Jesus, I believe, to the point of true conversion and true salvation. Actually, we know that to be the case by looking at what Jesus says later in verse 42, talking to the same crowd. He says, if God were your Father, you would love me. By the way, if they were saved, if they were believers, God would be their Father. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Why? Because they're the natural man. They can't receive the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness to him. You're of your father the devil. He wouldn't say that to believers, by the way. He wouldn't say that to those who actually believed to salvation. These are men who claim to believe in him. You're of your father the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. When Jesus said, you're not of God, he's saying, you don't possess true salvation. You're not a child of God, you're still in your sins, and you're still a child of the devil, he said in verse 44. You say you believe on me, but you really don't. That's why Jesus said, if you continue in my word, that's why he said to them right up front, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. This crowd that Jesus spoke to had a couple things, three things in common with most Americans today. Number one, they claimed to be Christians and to believe in Jesus when they were in fact not saved. Most Americans today claim to be of the Christian faith. But most of those who so claim are not truly born again and do not possess true salvation. Number two, they believe that they were free spiritually because of their heritage, because of their religion and their ancestry, while they were actually bound by the power and the penalty of sin. They didn't realize that. They weren't free spiritually from their sin. They were in bondage to their sin. Then number three, they also thought they were free in the civil arena when they were in fact in bondage to the state. They were slaves to the state. Verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? You know, it appears that these Israelites, these Pharisees and teachers of the law, momentarily forgot that at one time the nation was in slavery in Egypt. It appears that they apparently forgot that at one time they went into slavery in Babylon, were captives in Babylon. And by the way, it does appear that they seem to have forgotten that they were even now ruled by the Romans. They were subjugated by the armies of Rome. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, we're never in bondage to any man. Just like the Americans today are saying, I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. Proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. So where is freedom found today? Where is liberty to be found today? And why, by the way, do we broadcast on the Liberty Works radio network, broadcasting about liberty? Because the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And because the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to free the captives. We're on the Liberty Works radio network because the Lord Jesus said in this passage in John chapter 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We're on radio and on sermon audio to preach God's word, to set people free by the gospel. That's the only source of true liberty and true freedom. That's why Jesus said in verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." In other words, those that continue in Christ's word reveal themselves to be His true disciples, those who have true salvation. The freedom and liberty that every man needs is freedom from sin. Only those who truly know Christ, have received Him as Savior and Lord, can know the freedom that Jesus is speaking of in this passage. Christ gave us freedom from the penalty of sin because He died in our place on that cross to pay our penalty for sin, and He rose again victoriously on the third day for our justification, that we might be credited or imputed with His righteousness. He has set us free from the penalty of sin. He also gives us freedom from the power of sin because He grants to us His Holy Spirit to empower us with His grace to live a victorious Christian life. And one day, by the way, Christ will free us totally from even the very presence of sin. The penalty, the power, and the presence of sin. There is no freedom or liberty to be found on this earth that compares to the freedom and the glorious liberty that we have in Christ. Amen. If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. It is Christ's word and faith in His word and continuing in His word that delivers us from the power of sin. If you are bound by sin, then you need to immerse yourself in the word of God. If you're bound by depression, you need to immerse yourself in the word of God. Back to the text in Isaiah 59, verse 15. Isaiah 59, verse 15. "Yea, truth faileth. He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased Him that there was no judgment." Verse 16. "He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore His arm brought salvation unto him, and His righteousness it sustained him. For He put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon His head," that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6. "And He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly He will repay fury to His adversaries, recompense to His enemies. To the islands He will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun." And the Bible says, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for Me, this is My covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and My words that I put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." The enemy has not only come into America like a flood, but the floodgates of every evil are wide open, and America is being flooded with perversity and violence and lewdness and the homosexual, queer, sodomite agenda. Even the man that occupies the White House is pushing the sodomite agenda all over the world, even raising the rainbow sodomite flag over our embassy in Israel. And then there's the so-called Christians in this land. America is being destroyed by a flood of evil. And rather than looking for an ark, apostate American Christians are going in for a swim. Themselves pushing the homosexual, sodomite, queer agenda. But God's word stands true. "Let God be true and every man a liar. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. He will be glorified. And when the enemy shall come in like a flood," which they have done, "the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." And what is that standard? That standard is the Word of God. Our job is to raise the standard, to preach the Word of God. That's why we're on Sermon Audio and Liberty Works Radio Network, to get the Word of God out to a dying world. Amen. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, John 16, verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The best and only source of truth, the only source of sanity, the only source of peace in this world is God's Word. These things which He has spoken. It's our source of peace. It's our source of truth. Jesus said in John 14, 1 through 3, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We have a freedom and a liberty that nobody can know that doesn't know Jesus. We got a lot to rejoice about and to be at peace about and to be happy about. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we thank you for the peace that we have in the Word of God. We thank you for the freedom and the liberty that we have in Christ. We are engaged today in a struggle for liberty and freedom against a very real enemy. But this is primarily a spiritual battle. And the weapons of our warfare are not worldly weapons. The summation of the foregoing message is this: where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, to preach deliverance to the captives." He also said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." The only true peace, the only true freedom, and the only true liberty that you will find in this world is the peace of mind and liberty that is only available in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Because until you are free from the guilt and the power and the penalty of sin, you'll be in bondage to that sin. Sin controls you, separates you from God, and condemns you to an eternal hell. And no amount of good works that you could ever do will take away the sin that condemns you. That's why the Lord Jesus went to the cross to die in your place, to pay your penalty for sin. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And because Christ was God incarnate, eternal God in human flesh, He could pay the infinite penalty for all those in every age who would hear this message and repent of their sin and place their trust and faith in Him. There is no salvation and no hope of heaven or paradise in Islam or the false prophet Muhammad. There is no salvation in Hinduism, in Buddhism, or in humanism. None of the world's false religions do anything to take care of your sin problem. If you're Roman Catholic, the sacraments of the Catholic Church will not save you. Your baptism will not save you. Your priest cannot save you, and neither will the Virgin Mary or the Rosary or St. Anthony or St. Benedict. The Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." In John 1, verse 12, it says, "As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." If you've not already done so, then you need to repent. That means turn from your false religion, turn from your sin and rebellion against God, and by faith believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you on that cross 2,000 years ago, and receive Him as your Savior and as your Lord. And if you'll do that, then you can be born again to a new life here and now. And beyond the here and now, you'll have eternal life and a home reserved for you in heaven. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We're out of time for today, but we want to remind you that you can hear these messages online by going to the sermons page on our website at www.independencebaptist.com. Once again, that's www.independencebaptist.com. If you appreciate this program, we'd like to know it. So please take a minute to send an email to us at truegospelbroadcast@gmail.com. If you don't have email, you can also write to us at Post Office Box 99 in Brooksville, Florida, 34605. The Lord willing, we'll be back next week on the True Gospel Broadcast, so please join us then. Until then, may the Lord bless and keep you in His grace.